Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 15. Anointed Preaching. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Speak for eternity. Above all things, cultivate your own spirit. A word spoken by you when your conscience is clear and your heart full of God's Spirit is worth 10,000 words spoken in unbelief and sin. Remember that God, and not man, must have the glory. If the veil of the world's machinery were lifted off, how much we would find is done in answer to the prayers of God's children. Robert Murray McShane. The anointing is that indefinable, indescribable something, Holy Spirit, that an old renowned Scottish preacher describes thus. There is sometimes something in preaching that cannot be ascribed either to matter or expression, and cannot be described as to what it is or from whence it comes. Scripture. The wind blows where it desires, and thou hearest the sound of it, but canst not tell from where it comes or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. John chapter 3, verse 8. But with a sweet force it pierces into the heart and affections, and comes immediately from the Lord. If there were any way to obtain such a thing, it is the heavenly disposition of the speaker. We call this an anointing that empowers the preacher. The word of God is alive and efficient, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews chapter 4, verse. This divine influence gives the words of the preacher conciseness, sharpness, and power, and creates conflict and uneasiness in many a dead congregation. The same truths have been told in the strictness of the letter, smooth as human oil could make them, but without any signs of life or pulse throbs in the hearts. All were as peaceful as the grave and as dead. The same preacher, in the meantime, might receive an anointing. The divine inspiration comes on him, and the letter of the word is embellished and fired by this mysterious power, and the throbbings of life begin, life which receives or life which resists. The Holy Spirit penetrates and convicts the conscience and breaks the heart. This divine anointing is the feature which separates and distinguishes true gospel preaching from all other methods of presenting the truth, and which creates a wide spiritual chasm between the preacher who has it and the one who does not. It supports and saturates revealed truth with all the energy of God. Anointing is simply putting God into his own word and on his own preacher. By mighty and great prayerfulness and by continued prayerfulness, God and his word become the potential to the preacher personally. They inspire and clarify his intellect, give insight, and grasp projecting power. God gives the preacher heart power, which is greater than head power. Tenderness, purity, and force flow from the heart of the God-empowered preacher. Enlargement, freedom, fullness of thought, directness, and simplicity of utterance are the fruits of this close association to the Holy Spirit. Often, earnestness is mistaken for this anointing. He who has the divine blessedness will be earnest in the very spiritual nature of things, but a vast deal of earnestness may be without the same spirituality. Earnestness and anointing look alike from some points of view. Earnestness may be readily and without detection substituted or mistaken for anointing. It requires a spiritual eye and a spiritual taste to discern the difference. Earnestness may be sincere, serious, passionate, and persevering. It approaches things with goodwill, pursues with perseverance, urges with zeal, and puts force toward it. But all of these forces do not rise higher than the mere human. The man is doing the work, the whole man, with all that he has of will and heart, of brain and genius, of planning and working and talking. He sets himself to some purpose that has mastered him, and he pursues mastering it. This work may not be of God. There may be little of God in it, because there is so much of the man in it. He may present pleas as an advocate of his earnest purpose, which pleas or touch and move or overwhelm with conviction of their importance. In all this earnestness, he may move along earthly ways, being propelled by human forces, its altar made by earthly hands, and its fire kindled by earthly flames. It is said that a rather famous preacher of gifts used scripture to his fancy or purpose, and he grew very eloquent over his own exegesis. So men grow exceedingly earnest over their own plans or movements. Earnestness may be selfishness in disguise. What of anointing? It is the indefinable in preaching that makes it preaching. It is that which distinguishes and separates preaching from all mere human addresses. It is the divine in preaching. It makes the preaching sharp to those who need sharpness. It purifies as the dew to those who need to be refreshed. It is well described as a two-edged sword of heavenly temper keen, and double were the wounds it made, where'er it glanced between. 'Twas death to sin, 'twas life to all who mourned for sin. It kindled and it silenced strife, made war and peace within. This anointing comes to the preacher in the prayer closet, not in the study. It is heaven's distillation in answer to prayer. It is the sweetest exhaling of the Holy Spirit. It saturates, permeates, softens, penetrates, cuts, and soothes. It carries the word like dynamite, like salt, and like sugar. It makes the word a soother, an accuser, a revealer, and a searcher. It makes the hearer a culprit or a saint. It makes him weep like a child and live like a giant. It opens his heart and his purse as gently yet as strongly as the spring opens the leaves. This anointing is not the gift of genius. It is not found in the halls of learning, and no eloquence can woo it. No industry can win it. No ecclesiastical hands can confer it. It is the gift of God, the seal to his own messengers. It is heaven's knighthood given to the chosen, true, and brave ones. Often the same ones who have sought this anointed honor through many an hour of tearful, wrestling prayer. Earnestness is good and impressive. Genius is gifted and great. Thought kindles and inspires, but it takes a more blessed endowment, a more powerful energy than earnestness or genius or thought to break the chains of sin, estranged and depraved hearts to God, repair the breaches, and restore the church to her old ways of purity and power. Nothing but the Holy Spirit can do this. Scripture: God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4, verse 24.